We're going to be ordaining Ben Flannery as an elder. But this is not a service for or about Ben. Like every other gathering of this body, it is ultimately about Jesus and his bride, the church. In ordaining Ben, we are seeking to obey God and follow the example of Jesus and the apostles in Holy Scripture by identifying, qualifying, and commissioning faithful, proven, godly men to carry authority in the household of God. In light of this, and this is, pardon me, this is going to sound a little bit official, but I feel this is an official, kind of by definition, this is an official moment, right? I want to ask the existing ordained leadership here tonight. Do you agree that Ben Flannery has been selected in accordance with the biblical qualifications for eldership? And do you believe his manner of life to be suitable to this office of ministry? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Amen. And Ben, do you aspire to the office of elder in order to serve the church in leadership, teaching, prayer, protection, and stewardship of the call and commission of Emmanuel Christian Fellowship? If so, say, I do. And I want to address the whole church, particularly ECF, because we're technically the ones ordaining Ben here tonight with the help of our family of churches here. We all know the importance that we place on the office of elder. And because we desire for there to be a general consensus among every member of ECF, if any of you know any reason that we should not proceed, please come forward and make it known. I don't see anyone coming forward. This is a good thing. He said, Kate started to get out of her seat. No. So I want to ask all of you then, is it your will that Ben be ordained as an elder? If so, say it is. Amen. And will you uphold him in the ministry through consistent prayer and frequent encouragement? If so, say, we will. Amen. I want to read some scriptures and say just a few things about what we're doing here tonight. First of all, from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 18. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you were doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? And all the people stand around you from morning till evening." And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God, and when they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another. And I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out. The thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times." And now from Acts chapter 14. When Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is from Titus chapter 1. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are faithful and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. And finally, from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we sang, Lord, that you speak to us. And as you speak, we build the church. Lord, we respond to your word in the way that we build the church. And Lord, it's in response to your scripture that we're here tonight ordaining Ben. Holy Spirit, be in this time. That these words, Lord, could be fulfilled in our hearing today. Lord, that we could take one more step, put one more brick into your church, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege that you've given us to be a part of your family, and that you lead us, that you love us, and you are with us to the end of the age. In your name we pray. Amen. So I just want to say a couple of things, and this will not take long, I promise, about what we are doing here, ordaining as an elder. So I want to talk about ordination, I want to talk about elders, and then just a little bit about Ben. So, first, ordination. What is ordination? It's a bit difficult to nail down biblically if you stick to that exact word, but the idea comes through when we read of Paul and Barnabas appointing elders. We just read in Acts 14. Or about the laying on of hands to impart a ministry or to commission to a ministry in Paul's instructions to Timothy, and of his instructions to Titus to appoint elders in every town. Whatever the exact term is, I would describe the ordination process as a public identification and official recognition and commissioning of a qualified individual as an officer of the church, performed by existing officers in agreement with the local body of believers. That's what we're doing. I would add that prayer, fasting, and the laying on of hands are frequently described in association with ordination. And we believe that a very real thing happens by the Holy Spirit in the process of ordination. That there is power, that there is ministry, that there is anointing that is unlocked and transferred upon the person that's being ordained. In the Old Testament and in more formal ordination ceremonies, anointing oil is often used, which is always a marker of the presence of the Spirit upon that person. I didn't bring my oil here tonight, so. But I brought my hands. And so that's what we are doing here tonight. The current group of ordained leadership is recognizing and commissioning Ben in agreement with the body as a whole and by the power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the next thing I want to say is about elders. Elders are a gift from God. Elders are a gift from God. an extension of his grace to the church. God gives faithful men to the church because he loves the church. It goes without saying that authority is frequently exercised in the world for purposes contrary to what God intends, and for that reason is often viewed with suspicion and contempt. Jesus himself said that the rulers of the Gentiles exercise their authority to benefit themselves by lording over those under their rule, but it is not so in the kingdom of God. Authority as God intends it, it exists to ensure the good of those submitted to it. In the same way that a bad father or an absent father causes deep harm to his family by his abuse or by his abdication of authority, so is the body of Christ harmed when either bad leaders arise, or when no one stands up to lead, or when leaders abandon those under their care. The church needs good elders, like families need good fathers. And God is invested in setting good leaders amongst his people. The New Testament is fairly silent, regrettably, on specific tasks when it comes to elders, the elusive job description of an elder. But it clearly shows us both the importance of elders to local bodies and that those elders should be qualified based on proven godly exercise of authority in other spheres, particularly in the home. So that brings us to Ben. Personally, I've known Ben for over 20 years. Maybe close to 25, I don't know. And for most of that time, we've walked in close relationship in the work of the kingdom. In many ways, we have grown up together. Through UCF, CTS, discipleship houses, home fellowships, and through planting a church. There may have been a brief time in the midst of all of that when I considered Ben to be someone I was discipling. But the way he has matured and given himself to be conformed into the image of Jesus has become a major source of encouragement and support for me and for ECF and for all of us. That's why we're here tonight. He carries me and our church in ways that far surpass anything I've ever been able to do or offer him in return. If I know anything about Ben, it's that he loves the church. I'm equally certain that Ben also loves his wife, Kate, and his children, Sophie, Owen, Emmy, and Hannah. Ben loves his parents, Tony and Robin. And in her own estimation, he was the best son-in-law Kate's mom, Norette, could ever hope for. Decades of God's grace towards Ben, as well as decades of consistency on Ben's part to respond to God's grace by offering himself to be used by God, have led us to tonight. One final thing I'll say is that this is a significant event for ECF and for the CF family as well. When LCF commissioned us as a church on Easter Sunday, 2018, we understood that we remained under the covering and the care of the LCF eldership. And I've continued to relate primarily to that team over these 7+ years as my team of elders. But after today, ECF will officially have its own ordained team of elders. In this sense, we are coming of age as a church. We are entering into a new phase of governmental maturity and responsibility. I'm going to let Matt say a little bit more in a little bit about this as it relates to the relationship between our churches, which is an awesome, ongoing, awesome thing. But before that, I want to just have Ben and the team come up, and we'll move into prayer and the laying on of hands. We're going to have a time of prayer and the laying on of hands. And then afterwards, I think there are some other people who want to share some things. Ben has some words he wants to say, Matt, and a few others as well would like to share things with Ben. But for now, let's get up and we'll begin the prayer. Maybe have Ben, you stand here where we can all see you and we can all face you. The church can see you now. All right, I'm going to just, I already asked Ben a question, but I'm going to ask him a series of additional questions. We're just dotting I's and crossing T's here. But these are important questions. I think these questions speak to what the office is that we're setting him apart to. So, Ben, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. As an elder, it will be your task to teach by word and by deed the gospel of Jesus Christ, to fashion your life in accordance with its precepts. You are to love and serve the people God adds to his flock, caring alike for young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. You are to, in the words of Peter, shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Ben, do you believe that you are truly called by God in his church to this office?
I do.
Do you now, in the presence of the church, commit yourself to this trust and responsibility?
I do.
Will you be diligent in the reading and study of the Holy Scriptures and in seeking the knowledge of such things as may make you a stronger and more able minister of Christ? Will you do your best to pattern your life and that of your family in accordance with the teachings of Christ so that you may be an example to your people? And will you persevere in prayer, both in public and in private, asking God's grace both for yourself and for others? Then may the Lord who has given you may the Lord who has given you the will to do these things give you the grace and the power to perform them. All right, let's pray. This will just be an open time of prayer, so whoever wants to come in and pray. I think there's a mic that we can pass around.
Lord God, we thank you for Ben. Father God, we thank you for the gift that he is to the body of ECF and to our churches at large, God. And Lord, we, as just his friends, people who have come to know you with him, seen him come to know you, and as ordained elders and deacons in the church, God, we speak an anointing and a blessing on Ben in the yes. name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord yes. God. Lord, we pray that you would equip him with everything that he needs to serve the body, God. I pray that he would be a servant that serves out of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that he would rest in your strength, God, and that you would lift him up and you would lift up Kate and his family, God. They're such an amazing example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They're such an amazing example of what it means to be people who have true relationship with other members in the body, God. We pray that they would be an example, and we pray that you would just begin to pour out your wisdom and understanding on Ben to come and lift others up, to strengthen them, to speak truth, to stand at the door and guard against the lies of the enemy that would try to tear people away from you, Jesus, or one another. that he would be a unifier, Lord God. He would be a strengthener, Lord God. He would be an encourager, and he would be one who declares the truth of the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we love Ben. We are thankful for this man.
Mm-hmm.
Father, your faithfulness to us is shown through the gift of this man. Mm-hmm. We're grateful. I can't get into the words. Father, we thank you for this man.
Mm-hmm.
We are so thankful. We're thankful for his friendships that he's established, how he's covered the church already, how he's covered the folks that you've given to him already. And just that example, but the support that he's been to Ben and to your church, the friend that he's been to so many. Holy Spirit, give him buckets of grace. Give him wisdom. Let him see what's going on. Give him grace. Give him comfort. And give him confidence in you. Boldness. Not shy. Ben's not shy, but he would not be shy. We thank you, Father.
Father, I thank you for such a picture of humility and strength that stands before us. And God, just as you have placed Ben into this position, I pray that you would give him an extra measure of discernment and wisdom beyond what he thinks is imaginable. And that his family along, God, with the Hughes, that you would be able to move ECF to a place that they don't even imagine right now. And not by their strength, not by anything that they do, but simply their cooperation with you. So, Father, I'm, like Ken and Matt have said, I'm honored to even get to know this guy and thank you for his life. God, we thank you for his family. I do pray, like the others have, that, God, you would draw he and Kate together in a way that they didn't even know that they were missing, God, but that there would be a strength in that, that you would give him great stamina in the work, because there is a degree of work that goes with this, and I pray that you would give him, God, the stamina and the life in you that would make him excel in this and find great joy in the work that you've called him to. God, we are so honored that you've placed this man in our lives.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who builds your church. And you give gifts, and we thank you that you have given the gift of Ben to ECF. Father, we ask that as he takes up this position of leadership in the church, you would give him greater fellowship with your son, Jesus, that he would come to know you in new ways, both in your suffering, but he would also know something of the resurrection power that you give to your people, that resurrection power would give him strength where he is weak, wisdom where he doesn't know, Lord, humility where pride might rise up. So, Lord, I just ask for your grace, Jesus, to bring him closer to yourself and to conform him more to yourself.
Father, we pray for protection for Ben and his family. This is an office that has its dangers, and your servant David, who is a shepherd, was out there with wild animals, but with your help, he defeated them. And so we pray for your protection upon Ben and his family.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we praise you for your infinite love in calling us to be a holy people in the kingdom of your Son, Jesus, our Lord, who is the image of your eternal and invisible glory, the firstborn among many brethren, the head of the church. We thank you that by his death, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, he has poured his gifts abundantly upon your people. We thank you especially for the gift of faithful men like Ben, who are called by you to cherish, nourish, and protect your bride, with you yourself as our chief shepherd. So, Father, through Jesus Christ, give your Holy Spirit to Ben. Fill him with grace and power to be an elder in your church. May he exalt you in the midst of your people. Offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you. Boldly proclaim the gospel of salvation. And rightly administer the sacraments of the new covenant. Make him a faithful shepherd, a patient teacher, and a wise counselor. We pray that in everything, Lord, he would serve without reproach, so that your people, your church, Lord, may be strengthened, and that your name would be glorified in all the earth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I think you can head back to the seats, and I think there's some people who just want to share a few words. I'm going to let Ben said he wants to get it over with, so I'm going to let him share what's on his heart with us.
I don't think this will take long, but when Ben first posed me becoming an elder, I spent a lot of time in prayer just considering that, and that led to a lot of time of reflection on kind of how I got here. And I think God really put on my heart a word for LCF. But I think it would be helpful for people who don't know me super well to kind of let me share some context for that. You know, I grew up in the church. My parents are great parents. They instructed me really well in the word, and were great examples of how to live a life that pursues Christ above all. But I never really owned that for myself. And when I came to college, I realized that I didn't have a relationship with God, and I fell away from God, and faced a lot of difficulty in my life. When I moved to Lexington, I felt abandoned, I think in a way by God, because my life didn't reflect what I thought I deserved, which was not true. When I moved, I was a 22, 23-year-old college dropout who kind of really had no vision for his life or really had no relationship with God at all. And I was completely encumbered by anxiety and depression. And as Ben said, 20-some years ago, I came to LCF. I came into contact with a group of people who radically loved Jesus. In a way that that I hadn't ever encountered, and who loved him and loved each other in ways that I'd never really seen reflected. I found peers who were willing to do anything that God asked of them, and there was a vitality in the body that revolved around the kingdom of God. In a way that kind of freaked me out, I want to be honest. I remember at one point thinking, I'll stick around these guys for a while. I don't want to go that deep, but maybe I can, you know, like figure some stuff out. But what really began to happen is I began to have friends, families would invite me over for dinner, and then they would invite me over again. I had friends who would who were genuinely interested in me. And I could tell that that was not driven by the fact that we shared interests, because we didn't, or that we were similar people. Or that they pitied me, or saw me as, a project, or were part of a project, and I fit into, you know, their agenda or anything like that. I very quickly saw that people loved me. I wrote this out so that this wouldn't happen, but that's people loved me because Christ had loved them, and because they saw me in the same way that Christ did. That is really what allowed me to come to know God, and all of the things in my life that were preventing me from doing that, God used you all to help me walk through that, to see that, to reveal that to me, to encourage me in it. I don't want to say all of that just to talk about myself, but to talk about you, to talk about LCF. And as I've just reflected on you all and prayed for you all, my purpose in giving all of that context is that, first of all, I'm not the only one. I think that story can be replicated many, many times throughout this room. But I want to affirm who you are as a body. Who you have been and who you will be. I think that you are a good tree that bears good fruit, and that you are a fertile soil. And I want to remind you of the uniqueness of the image of Christ's body that you bear. In your radical pursuit for Jesus. And lastly, I want to exhort you to not grow weary in well-doing, but to yearn and long for the coming of God's kingdom in this city. Jesus Christ has a vision to redeem the city of Lexington. And there are a lot of people like me in Lexington. And he has prepared you to be their place of refuge and shelter from a life that is devastated by sin and brokenness. There's this, at the end of The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's this scene where Aslan opens a door in Narnia into his country, and he calls all the Narnians into his country, and he closes the door on Narnia as Narnia passes away. And then Aslan calls all the Narnians to come further up and further in into his kingdom. And there's this long scene of all the Narnians running deeper and deeper into Aslan's kingdom. And I think that that is just God's heart towards you, to call you to come further up and further in into your anointing, into who you are in Lexington. And I love you, and I'm so thankful for all of you who have loved me. So, man, sorry.
Man, wow. Thanks, Ben. This is a celebration tonight. I'm standing here kind of for two different reasons. One, I'm a friend of Ben Flannery's, and I'm really praising the Lord for who he is and where God is establishing him. And then also, I am an ordained elder for Lexington Christian Fellowship. And so, to ECF, I want to tell you guys, thank you for letting us be part of this amazing night. We're glad to stand here with you, to witness this, to recognize who Ben is. And we're excited for you all, because you now have a leadership team, like Ben said. You have a team of elders. In Ecclesiastes, it says two is better than one. So one thing that's cool is they can keep each other warm now. That's great. And I also I was thinking about that verse. It's followed up by a strand of three cords is not easily broken. That may be for LCF too. God wants more elders. But we are happy to just say to you guys, we have walked with you as a church and as an ordained team through this ordination process. It's been very relational. Our whole team has spent time with Ben. Our elders have spent time with him. And so I wanted to stand up here tonight just on behalf of the ordained team of Lexington Christian Fellowship to tell you all, you've picked a good elder. And we want to affirm and confirm the choice, the recognition as Ben as elder. We stand with you in that. And we say amen, and we say that is a very good thing that God has done. This is a gift. Second to that, and I'm going to be very brief, but second, since you have been planted as a church from Lexington Christian Fellowship, This period of time, Ben has engaged in our leadership as an elder. And he has been with us, giving us wisdom, giving us insight in the decisions that the ordained LCF leadership team makes. And we're very thankful for that. Ben has been a powerful man of God on our team, especially over the last couple of years. And so what I wanted to recognize tonight is that now Ben is stepping into a role of leadership as elder for ECF. And we, as a church, but also as an ordained team, Ben, we are receiving you in the same way that we have received Ben Hughes to participate in our council of leadership. We invite you to be involved, to speak wisdom, to know us, to walk with us as we lead LCF. So while your primary responsibility is an elder for ECF, we are bringing you into the Council of Leadership, and we're excited about the gifting, the unique gifting and perspective God is going to give you for us as we walk together with you all. Is that powerful? Is that awesome? Praise God for that. The last thing I wanted to do is we've been studying through the book of Acts, and there is a scene toward the end of Paul's ministry where he goes back to Ephesus, and he's with the leaders of that church, and here's some things that Paul said to them. He said, "Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And then at the very end, Paul reminds them of the words of our Lord Jesus. And he says this, and this is for everyone. But Ben, for you, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Praise God.
I think most everybody knows me. My name is J.P. Barlow, and I'm a member of ECF, and I just had a couple of things I wanted to share in regards to Ben. I've known Ben for 35 years. We were students together in Glasgow at Glasgow Christian Academy. Mrs. Flannery Robin was my teacher, which I think makes her eligible for the office of saint. You know, I was really thankful that Ben got up and shared, Ben Flannery, that is, about his story, because I think what I want to share about him really ties in with what he's experienced and the way that God has worked in him through the ministry of LCF and ECF. So I'm going to start with just a little bit of scripture. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, Peter says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." I think if anybody spent much of time around Ben at all, they would see really quickly that he has a heart of a servant. He's a servant-hearted person. He desires to serve others. But servant-heartedness falls short in regards to being able to be an elder, to be a shepherd. I grew up on a farm, and I watched my dad care for the herd that we had on our farm. We grew up on a dairy farm. And for him to be an effective herdsman, an effective shepherd, he had to know his flock. He had to know the animals, and he had to know them in a really unique way. And if you've spend any time at the churches, you've probably heard multiple teachings about knowing God. You've probably heard teachings about how through knowing God we come to know ourselves, and how through knowing God we come to know one another. And so there's three attributes that I want to point out about Ben that I think exist because of him knowing God. I think Ben Flannery knows God, and because Ben Flannery knows God, there's things he knows about us. So the first thing I want to read is from Genesis 1, 27. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Ben sees you as image bearers of God. When Ben sees God's people, he doesn't see a cluster of cells. He doesn't see an accident. He sees intentionality. He sees purpose. He sees God's image implanted on us. Second thing I want to read is from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When Ben sees you, he sees new creation. He sees not the old. He sees the version of us that God redeemed and restored. It's one of the things that just has been so compelling to me to watch him in ministry, is how he sees God's new creation in people. And the last thing, 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 7. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Ben sees people on the inside. Ben sees who we are, the purpose of God in us, the intent that he has for us. He doesn't see us in the stature and through the lens of man and through the lens of the world. So when I think about why Ben is going to be an amazing elder for ECF and why we're all going to benefit from his ministry, it's because Ben knows God's church. He knows the flock. He sees each of us with God's eyes. And we are so thankful for that.
Amen. The Holy Spirit's here. I just wanted to ask if anybody else wants to just stand up and give a brief encouragement for Ben, you're free to do that at this time. Anybody? All right. Well, I had one more thing I wanted to say, and then we'll dismiss. And you know, I was going. I'm really glad that we're having a reception after this, because I think there a deep desire for fellowship, like real fellowship, sharing of Christ together, is in my heart. You know, we are doing this thing, and it's an official thing, but he has called us to an awesome life to live, a life of knowing him, a life of loving one another. But Ben, if you would just stand up one more time and come up here, I wanted to present this is a Bible for you on from ECF. And the reason we give a Bible at ordination is because that is, what's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is your very first Bible. Because that's your greatest asset as an elder of the church. That is your greatest asset. That is your number one tool. And so I just wanted to give you that at this moment, so that you would know that this is what it's about. The Word of God. Hearing, doing the Word of God, teaching it, and evaluating all of life, everything that we're doing through the lens of the Word of God. Your second greatest asset, I would like for them to come up, and it is your family. We know the one who's not pictured. She's having fun somewhere. So this is kind of the parting image that I want everybody to see about Ben, is that he carries the Word of God, and he loves his family. And those are the two ways in which he's going to lead the family of God, lead the people of God through the Word and through the way that he loves and multiplies his life through his family, but in an extended sense, everyone that his family touches and loves and becomes that place of shelter. So your Bible and your home. And I just want to pray over those two aspects of your life as we close. Father, thank you for Ben and for his family. And Lord, we do pray that you would equip him powerfully with the Word of God. You give him insight. You give him, Lord, not just deep knowledge, but deep understanding, deep wisdom. And even beyond that, Lord, deep joy in the Word, that he would love the Word, that he would cherish it, that it would be the thing that he settles down to at night. After a long, hard day, Lord, that he would find refreshment in your Word. Lord, that his thirst would be quenched and his hunger would be sated by your Word. And Lord, we pray for the Flannery family, Lord, in their home, and Lord, with his marriage with Kate, his relationships with his
children, Lord, that they would be protected, but Lord, that they would be released in a powerful way on the church. Lord, we say more of this, multiply this right here by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. And we glorify you for everything here, Lord. It is to your glory, Jesus, and only yours. And in your name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're invited. Everybody's invited to fellowship, share a meal, share some food together, at least some hors d'oeuvres, and give Ben some love and love one another. Amen.